This copyrighted audio file from the writings of David S. Lample is offered free of charge to the glory of God the Father and the praise of Jesus Christ our Lord. Detailed copyright and resource information is included at the end of this file.
This is session 162 of our study of 1 Corinthians. Our passage is chapter 15, verses 44b to verse 49. And I've entitled this, We Are Not What We Will Be, Part 2. John MacArthur helpfully breaks down this current discussion into four points. To Paul's rhetorical question posed in verse 35, quote, But someone will say, How are the dead raised, and with what kind of body do they come? End quote. The apostle in the subsequent verses answers his own questions in four ways. First, in verses 36 to 38, he cites illustrations from nature. Second, in verses 39 to 42a, citing the different forms of earthly flesh and heavenly bodies, he hints at the makeup of resurrected bodies. In verses 42b to 44, he offers four contrasts between the earthly body and the resurrected body. Now, finally, in a fourth answer, verses 45 to 49, he contrasts the earthly prototype, the first man, Adam, with the spiritual prototype, the last Adam. Let me add a sidebar here. Pertinent to our discussion in class last week regarding the created nature of the first Adam's body, MacArthur writes this, quote, Adam and Eve originally were in a probationary period. Had they proved faithful rather than disobedient, their bodies would have been glorified and immortalized by eating of the fruit of the tree of life, which they then could have eaten. See Genesis 2:9. We're going to read that in a moment. Because they sinned, however, they were put out of the garden lest they eat the tree of life and live forever in a state of sin. Now, I confess I had never considered this perspective on the garden, but I did see a similar position while listening to a lecture by D.A. Carson on the book of the Revelation. So let's look at verses 8 and 9 of Genesis 2. See what he's talking about. The Lord God planted a garden toward the east, in Eden, and there he placed the man whom he had formed. Out of the ground the Lord God caused to grow every tree that is pleasing to the sight and good for food. The tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. It's Genesis 2:8 to 9. Now let's read our passage for this session. Chapter 15, verses 44b to 49. If there is a natural body, there is also a spiritual body. So also it is written, quote, The first man, Adam, became a living soul, end quote. The last Adam became a life-giving spirit. However, the spiritual is not first, but the natural, then the spiritual. The first man is from the earth, earthy. The second man is from heaven. As is the earthy, so also are those who are earthy, and as is the heavenly, so also are those who are heavenly. Just as we have borne the image of the earthy, we will also bear the image of the heavenly. I think of our natural earthly bodies as I do the earth itself. Thus, I think of our practical stewardship of our bodies as I do our stewardship of this earth. God has called us to be good managers of the earth He has given us. even as it has been given to us to use for our benefit, Genesis 1, 26 and following, we are to be good stewards of its resources, keeping its water clean, its air breathable, its soil healthy and fertile. In none of this, however, are we to exalt or worship this earth, as if it is a living being more important than its inhabitants. That is heresy. That is idolatry. Just so our natural physical bodies, we are to be good stewards of the bodies God has given us. We are to do what we can to keep them healthy and vital and to keep them useful to our God and His service. Like the earth on which we live, our bodies belong to their Creator, to do with as He sees fit. Beyond that, however, these natural bodies are little more than the tent, which is a reference to how Paul described our bodies in 2 Corinthians 5, 1-5. Just a temporary dwelling, a tent, a non-permanent structure in which we dwell. They are not to become the focus of our attention. We are not to pedestalize them, making them more important than they really are. That, too, is heresy. It is idolatry. Now we're ready for verse 46. However, the spiritual is not first, but the natural, then the spiritual. At first glance, our response to verse 46 might be, yeah, your point. But there's more here if we back off and consider this through a wide-angled lens. It's understandable that mankind would be preoccupied with what they know firsthand. That's natural. This earth in its present state and our physical bodies as we know them. It's also understandable that we could come to think that this is all there is, and things will probably be like this always. Just ask the young. Paul opens his argument about the order of things in verse 46 by stating the obvious, but also by voicing an axiom that has been true since the beginning of time. And that is, as Vincent puts it, lower life precedes the higher. Lower life precedes the higher. This puts a slightly different spin on what Paul states in verse 22. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ all will be made alive. It is God's order that the movement is from the lesser to the greater. That is, in Christ, especially in Paul's context here. In Christ, we move from the lesser, the lower, to the higher. Not so in Adam. In Adam, the movement is toward inevitable degeneration, sickness, and ultimate death. And after that, eternal damnation and misery. But God's economy in Christ is the reverse of that. The essential natural comes first, just as it was necessary for the Son of God to be incarnated, for only then could He be nailed to a cross for our transgressions. He had to be, as it were, natural flesh first. Even for Christ, the natural had to come first, that is, for our salvation, before He could be clothed in His spiritual form. And just so, man. Listen to what Matthew Henry has to say about this. We must bear the image of the earthy before we can bear the image of the heavenly. Such is the established order of providence. We must have weak, frail, mortal bodies by descent from the first Adam, before we can have lively, spiritual, and immortal ones by the quickening power of the second. We must die before we can live to die no more. Now verse 47. The first man is from the earth, earthy. The second man is from heaven. Now we need to dig into this a bit. Bear with me here. No one since has been so earthy as the first man, Adam. We can easily say that all since were from the earth, for this is our home. We did not come here from somewhere else. And just as the soil, the dust of this earth was in Adam, a portion of it is in us. We are up from the soil. But Adam, uniquely, emerged from the literal dust of the planet. Then the Lord God formed man of dust from the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. I've always loved this picture. It's a picture of Yahweh Elohim, the Lord God, reaching down into the soil of Eden with his own hands and fashioning, shaping, crafting, sculpting the first human being. After he had done this, Yahweh, quote, breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, thus transforming the lifeless earthen figure into a living being with a soul. In contrast, the second man, second Adam, Jesus the Christ, was not at all of this earth, not to mention earthy. Neither of these men were born. The first man was created personally by God from the soil of the earth. The second man was eternal deity, incarnated on earth through the normal birth process of a human virgin. And from an earthly perspective, the earthy man, the lesser, natural man, came first. The second, spiritual man, came second. Indeed, if things had gone better in Eden, there would have been no need for the spiritual man to come at all. Now, all that may be true, and that is the most common interpretation of our verse here. But Paul's purpose goes beyond this. That interpretation of verse 47 forgets the context of this passage, of this chapter. Paul's purpose goes beyond this. He is not really concerned here with origins or the physical makeup of the bodies. One is dust, one is spiritual. The next two verses make this clear. A literal rendering of verse 47 reads, "The first, man of earth, made of dust. The second, man of heaven," period. That is, of instead of from. Instead of from earth, from heaven, it's of earth, of heaven, which can mean from, but also, considering our context here, means something else. Of our common translations, only the NIV 2011 faithfully renders this. The first man was of the dust of the earth. The second man is of heaven. As verses 48 to 49 reveal, the apostles' interest lies less with where they came from than the difference in their qualitative characteristics. The first man had an earthbound perspective. He was earthy in the sense that he could not see beyond the immediate horizon. In Yahweh, he could have had it all. Instead, he chose the instant gratification of what Satan offered. In that choice, he doomed not just himself, but all of humanity to follow. His body started dying the moment he bit into that fruit. Jesus, of course, was and is the antithesis of this. And we could wax poetically about the contrast between the two. Believe me, I'd love to. I could fill pages with it. But then we would lose our hold on the apostles' purpose in these verses. We're not there yet. Yes, Christ Jesus was from heaven. And it is true that while in his incarnated state, he held to a heavenly mindset and character. Both of those are true. But Paul is not building his argument around Christ's heavenly perspective while in the flesh. This is all about resurrection. And when he states that the second man is of heaven, he refers to Christ's resurrected, glorified state. A state that we as believers will share when we are resurrected. Verse 49. Gordon Fee explains it this way. Believers are said to share both kinds of existence, that of Adam through their humanity, that of Christ through their resurrection. They do not share Christ's heavenly because as he, they are from heaven, but because at the resurrection, they will receive a heavenly body that is just like his. And now our last two verses. Verses 48 and 49. As is the earthly, so also are those who are earthy. And as is the heavenly, so also are those who are heavenly. Just as we have borne the image of the earthy, we will also bear the image of the heavenly. Reading verse 48, I am reminded of something Jesus said in his parable about the rich man and Lazarus. From his misery and torment in Hades, the rich man cried out for Abraham to send Lazarus to cool his tongue with a bit of water. Abraham gave two reasons why this request would not be met. For the rich man, it was too late. He had had his fine life prior to death. Abraham said as well, quote, "And besides all this, between us and you there is a great chasm fixed, so that those who wish to come over from here to you will not be able, and that none may cross over from there to us." It's Luke 16:26. Now, the great chasm fixed in the parable referred to the impassable gulf between Hades and heaven, or, in that passage, Abraham's bosom. But there is a similar great chasm between earth and heaven. The one side of our text in these two verses, as is the earthy, so also are those who are earthy, just as we have borne the image of the earthy. Right now, believers still living are earthy. They are of dust, natural, fleshly. We are sown into this world so, and so we are sown into the grave. From birth to the grave, we wear the clothing, that's what this word means, translated have borne. It can refer to a great heavy weight on your back, but it also can refer to what you are wearing, and that's how it's used here. We wear the clothing of the earthy. So clothed in the apparel of the soil, there is no entrance for us into glory. It cannot happen. It will not happen. So then the other side of our two verses. And as is the heavenly, so also are those who are heavenly. We will also bear the image of the heavenly. Likewise, those who have preceded us, human beings, cannot sally back and forth between. In our fleshly state, we cannot enter heaven. And now those who are now free of the burden of the earthy and in their present state, they must remain. They haven't the passports of either deity or of the angelic messengers. They are spiritual beings in heaven, that is their home. Thus we are either one or the other. That's the point. We are born of Adam, earthy. In Christ, and through his groundbreaking resurrection, we are reborn of the last Adam. We are born again, thus leaving us heavenly. This is another now, not yet situation for the believer. Yes, we are given the Spirit when we come to Christ. Yes, we are, as it were, spiritual because we have the Spirit in us. But that does not yet render us suitable for a glorified body. That is what is required before we can enter heaven and be a heavenly, have a heavenly body. In that, we will have a body imperishable, glorious, with power, and at long last, truly spiritual. Verses 42 to 44. We are either one or the other, but for those who are in Christ, look at the end of verse 44. Quote, if there is a natural body, and of course there is also a spiritual body. The higher life will indeed follow the lower. It must. I'd like to close by reading a quotation from Albert Barnes on this passage. He writes, as we are so closely connected with Adam as to resemble him, so by the divine arrangement and by faith in the Lord Jesus, we are so closely connected with him that we shall resemble him in heaven. And as he is now free from frailty, sickness, pain, sorrow, and death, and as he has a pure and spiritual body adapted to a residence in heaven, so shall we be in that future world. The argument here is that the connection which is formed between the believer and the Savior is as close as that which subsisted between him and Adam. And as that connection with Adam involved the certainty that he would be subjected to pain, sickness, sin, and death, so the connection with Christ involves the certainty that he will, like him, be free from sin, sickness, pain, and death, and like him, will have a body that is pure, incorruptible, and immortal. That's Albert Barnes.
Thank you for using our Bible study resources. This has been the audio version of our weekly printed session notes. It is copyright 2021 by David S. Lample, but is offered free of charge and may be freely shared with others. All printed and audio notes are available in the Bible Studies section of our website at dlample.com. This website also includes our monthly devotional, Reflections by the Pond, as well as archives of our devotional publications made available for over 30 years. Unless otherwise indicated, scripture in this audio file is from the New American Standard Bible, updated edition, copyright, Lockman Foundation. Greek and Hebrew citations and definitions are from Strong's Greek and Hebrew Dictionary and the NASB Greek Hebrew Dictionary. All resources both at our devotional site, dlample.com, and our His Company Christian Drama site, hc.dlample.com, are offered free of charge in acknowledgement of the Lordship of Jesus Christ. For more information about who we are, please visit the About Us page at our website,